أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، just before I start, I just received some advice. Inshallah, the terms in our lecture, there is a lot of Islamic terms, and there is a lot of non-Arab speaking as well. So, we should make ourselves, inshallah, familiar with using of the Islamic terms. Allah will try my best to translate, to say it in English, but try, inshallah, to pick up, like, you know, we know the word Salah means prayer, we know Siyam means fasting, and we know the word Quran means the book of Allah, Quran. So when I say the word Sunnah means the traditions of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from time to time, inshallah, I will try to do that as much as possible. And JazakAllah khair for your advice, and always, you know, most welcome to give your suggestions or comments on my lectures, inshallah. Today, we are still speaking about innovation in religion, which was in the khutbah today. And since today is the second lecture of that, so I will try to gather all the subjects, what we said last week, and what we're going to say tomorrow, all of them together, so we'll make one subject, inshallah, in the next 45 minutes or so, and then we'll open for your comments and questions, inshallah. We know that a person who is doing the bid'ah or doing the innovation of religion is doing it for more than one reason. Number one, want to get close to Allah with some worship, some act of worship, some practice of this religion. Number two, his intention may be right, may be wrong. His intention is good intention, that he wants to get closer to Allah, was doing more and more, to the point that he started inventing things, or that his intention is that the way the shown by the Prophet, or the way he's shown the companions of the Prophet, is not enough, or does not fulfill what he or she needs from spirituality, you know, needs from practicing. So if the recitation of the Quran does not give that fulfillment, as Rasulullah used to recite, or still you recite every 3 days, or every week, or every 15 days, or every month, to finish the Quran once, you know, recitation. So say, oh, it's too long, I'll finish it every day. The Prophet said, don't do that. But he or she will do, thinking this will make closer to Allah. So that's why Islam from the very beginning cuts that rule, that method. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah glory be to him, in the Quran, he said, وَمَا أَتَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Prophet, the Messenger give you, that's what you should follow. Whatever he told you to avoid, you should keep away from it all the time. Don't even think about coming close to it. Also the other verse, Allah said, وَمَنْ يُطْعِ الرَّسُولَ قَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ. Whoever obeyed the Prophet, really he's obeying Allah. Why? Because the Prophet does not bring anything from his own. He brings from where? Revelation. Revelation coming from where? Allah. So that's why when you follow the Prophet, you are following Allah. Because he's the one who has the straight connection with Allah. And if we want to establish that connection with Allah, we have to do exactly what the Prophet did. So there will be, if we understand this, there will be no chance for addition or deleting from this religion. And that's why Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5, the second verse number 2, so He said that, أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Today I completed your religion, وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, and I perfected my gift to you, from my favor to you, by making you the Muslims. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, and I'm pleased with Islam as your deen. So Islam is supposed to be your deen. Deen means religion, way of life. So if a person chooses any other way than Islam, Allah will be pleased with it? No. Allah said three things. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Today I completed your religion. So if anyone wants to add to the religion, so he is deleting or denying that statement of Allah. Because Allah said, today the deen is complete, the religion is complete. And a person adding to it, even without saying that this religion is incomplete, he is saying it by his action. By adding it, that means this reason is not complete, and I am completing it. That means I am thinking better than Rasulullah, better than Allah himself. Astaghfirullah. May Allah forgive. Second statement. وَأَثْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. Today I perfected my favor on you. That means there is no other way than the ways I prescribe to you. So if you seek to come close to me, if you come close to me only through what I prescribe. And that's the ni'mah completely. You want the blessing of Allah to come, that channel, only through that way. So if a person seeks it through some other channel, also he is denying that second statement of Allah. Third one. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I'm pleased with Islam as a whole package, as your system, as your criteria, as your constitution, as your way of life. If a person thinks that there is some other way will help better, so that means he's objecting to that exact statement of Allah that Islam is enough for us. Islam is enough for us. No. Islam is not enough. You are living here. You have to do this, you have to do that. And that is a manifestation of ignorance. You would say that if you were knowledgeable enough in the practices of Islam to the point that you say, I studied everything, I tried everything, but nothing working, so I have to seek some other way. Who is that person now? Who is that person who did everything? Believe me, if a person like that, he will be so involved with Islam that he does not have any time to practice any other thing. Because he is finding the sweetness of Iman, sweetness of belief, sweetness of faith, sweetness of spirituality that he is gaining day by practicing this religion. The way it is. Eventually he will think that nothing else works for me. This one works for me. Even I sacrifice other things, I don't care. That is my religion, Islam. And by this we'll be abiding by the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we saw that how Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so strict with that with his companions. He does not want them to think that it is the quantity that counts. You can't do quantity later on, but not at the start. Like, I learned how to pray, so I'll pray 1,000 rak'ah. I'm thinking that's the way it is. No. You can do quantity, but after you establish the quality first. Quality first. Prophet says, when you are active, when you are able, do volunteer prayers. We are not talking now about compulsory prayers. We are not talking about this. Yeah, we have to pray 5 times a day. There's no doubt in it. Even if you are sick, even if you are in bed, even if you are dying, still prayer is not deleted. You are not excused from it. We are not talking about this one. We are talking about extra. Do extra. And the Prophet is to do extra. And he advised his companions to do extra. And the companions used to make prayer at night, the middle of the night. And this is extra from you, for your own good, to be a better Muslim and to be a perfect human being. And to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the paradise. So they do extra, but the Prophet said, you don't exceed the limit. There is that very precise measurement there. Yes, you love Allah, you want to do more and more and more, but you be extra careful. Don't think that by just doing more and more you are better. Don't think that way. You will be better eventually, but not you thinking that, not working for it. I'll pray every night, and that's the way I'll be better than all the people in the masjid now. Your prayer doesn't count, if this is your intention. No, I will pray, I will perfect my prayer, so Allah be pleased with me, and then quantity will come later on, because I will be so in love with praying that I'm getting the effect of it, that I don't want to leave it. I don't want to leave it. SubhanAllah, when you read the books of history, you see strange things. It looks strange to us, or it sounds strange for us. Like, for example, Ali ibn Umar al-Bazzar, one of the great scholars of tradition of the Prophet, collecting history and the hadith. Hadith means the sayings of the Prophet or the actions of the Prophet. So Ali ibn Umar al-Bazzar was at the time of Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah is a great scholar also of Islam. The 600 Hijri, years of Hijra, something like that. He's saying people used to come to pray behind Ibn Taymiyyah to listen to Takbirat al-Ihram. To listen to him while he's saying Allahu Akbar to start the prayer. What is that? Yeah, they come of course to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that special part Ibn Taymiyyah used to do it in a certain way that people's heart shake by just saying Allahu Akbar. How he reached that level? He feels well what he says in the prayer. When he says Allahu Akbar, you know what does that mean, that word? Allah is the greatest. But he feels it from inside that Allah is greater than anything. Makes him shake from that. Imagine this. How these people close to the practice of the Prophet, that they knew and they figured out the real meaning of prayer, to a point that just starting the prayer, different. It is different for all the people praying behind them. We're starting the prayer. The Sheikh, one time I listened to his lecture, he was mentioning about one of his friends, Imam in the Masjid in Egypt. So people go to Ramadan. You know, Ramadan, you pray Taraweeh. They went to Taraweeh and he's starting the prayer. So he said, Allahu Akbar, and then the Imam starts crying. He starts crying so hard, so deep from his heart. So people, what is this? We wait two, three rak'ah until we warm up, and then the things heat up, and then the recitation of the salah, then we start crying, or the dua, and the last thing of the prayer. That's what we do. But this man, Allahu Akbar, crying? What is this? And all the men start crying. So someone came and asked me, Sheikh, subhanAllah, why you cried after saying Allahu Akbar? He said, suddenly, the moment I said Allahu Akbar, I found that we don't believe in that. We don't do this. We just say it. Allah is the greatest. But is really Allah is greater than my love for my job? Is love of Allah is greater than love for my family? Is Allah greater than my love to this life? I find that answer to this question, no. All of them. I love to be in this life forever. I love to have this. I love to have this. But I did not for one second love to serve Allah's cause. This is not a priority for me. You ask people now, what is your mission statement? Some people, they do that. They write even in their computer. They write, okay, what is my priority in my life? Okay, my family, my job, then practicing the religion. Muslim. Practicing the religion. It comes, at the end. Whenever I have spare time, it's my leisure to practice the religion. How would you expect that person would understand Allahu Akbar? How would he understand the word Allahu Akbar? How would he understand that the Prophet said, three, if they are in the heart of someone, you will taste the sweetness of belief. So belief has sweetness? Yeah, sweetness, literal meaning. Literal meaning of sweetness. You will taste it. Not in your mouth, but you taste some happiness coming from somewhere. You don't know what it is. That Allah and His Rasul dearer to you than anything in the world. That's number one. Number two, when you love someone, you love him for the sake of Allah. Number three, that you hate to go back to the disbelief or ignorance or the state of ignorance. Like you hate to be thrown in the hellfire. If you really do those three things, and they are hard, by the way, it's not easy just as I talk. They're very hard. Exactly hard. Take each one of them and practice for a week and see how much you will get at the end. Those all of us will get zero in the beginning. That and يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مثل Allah and His Rasul, His Messenger, dearer to his or her heart than anything in the world. Wake up in the morning and have that statement in your mind. And start living your life. Each and everything. You have to ask yourself a question. Is this mentioned in the book of Allah? Is this what Rasulullah did? Is this the way it should be done? Or is it not the way it should be done? And see. You will do it as according to the Quran and Sunnah. You will not do it, or you will hesitate in doing it. You will find hundreds of things every day. Either you forget the Sunnah, forget the tradition of the Prophet and the Quran, or you hesitate. But rarely you will abandon what you are doing and follow the right one. That's number one. So how can you experience the sweetness of belief? Number two, and you hate Mar Allah and to love someone except nothing but for the sake of Allah. You know why? I was talking with a couple of brothers today. You know why Allah Rasulullah make a condition that one? You love it only for the sake of Allah? Because as human beings we are created always that our minds and our hearts attached to something with benefit to us. Like I do something because it gains me benefit. So when Allah created us, He said benefit is jannah. Benefit is jannah. So it is something eternal. So that's why we're striving in that, even whatever happens to us. So Allah said, you love each other. But since we expect something from the other party in return for that love, Of course, we will not love each other if this is the case. So Allah, Rasulullah made it a reason that never fails. Allah said, you love him for the sake of Allah. Is this reason will finish one day? I love you for the sake of Allah. Is this going to change for the sake of Allah? Say, Allah is there. حَيُّ لَا يَمُوتُ قُلُوا اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّلَاةُ. Nobody like him. It's no beginning, no end. Allah is the one. My love, this is the reason for me to love you. As long as the reason remains, I still love you. But if the reason is something else, my love to you will change and vary. Hard or not hard now? It is very hard. So you have to see. Okay, why did Sheikh Mansoor? Because he did not criticize any one of you. If I start criticizing any one of you, it will change. Your approach to me will change. So it's not for the sake of Allah. If I don't love you for the sake of Allah, once you do anything, I'll just stay in Houston. I'm not coming anymore. Once I find the opposition or something like this, but the person who really do this for the sake of Allah, for the love of Allah, my relationship with brothers and sisters in this community is for the sake of Allah. Whatever hardship we go through it together, and we'll get out of it together, and we will overcome it together, and our love will increase, not decrease. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to love his companions and his followers, and he explained that in a hadith. Say, I'm pulling you back, and you are going toward fire like the butterflies. But when they reach fire, they just go run to it. They get burned. And the butterflies see the other butterflies also going to help her, but still they go. And I'm pulling you back, but you are escaping from my hand. Why a person do that? When you see the people, he says, oh, okay, go. Fine, I just advise you, go do whatever you like. But the Prophet, to the last moment, out of his love or his nation or his honor or his followers, he stands with them. And in the day of judgment, each and every person, even the Prophet, will say that he is, oh Allah, myself, I don't care about anyone else except one person, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will prostrate under the throne of Allah and will say, Ya Rabbi, Ummati, Ummati. Ya Allah, my followers. I want to make sure that my followers save the person, then me. See that love? No one can have this love. So Rasulullah teaching us how this love. So if we love the religion of Allah, believe me, we will understand the importance of that subject. That someone wants to act in the religion, or innovate in the religion, or deviate the people from the religion, and the importance of the devil himself trying to pull us out from the spirit. Who will know that? So we love that. But if we don't have that religion as a priority in our life, as practice in our life, what is this? Who's going to innovate in the religion? Whatever you know. We just come to the magic practice, and when Ramadan comes and fast, it's okay, Sheikh. What I worry so much like this? Yeah, well, I worry like everybody start changing Islam. Yes, everybody start changing Islam, and I'm so worried about it. Me, myself, start forgetting sometimes. So I'm reminding myself before reminding anyone else. So that is a full introduction about how important, and how important to have a role model. Because once you have a certain set of rule and foundation, now abide by it, which is the book of Allah, Quran, and the Sunnah of the Prophet, and we explained in the khutbah how important is the Sunnah. You will not understand the Quran without the Sunnah. It is a revelation as well, by the way. Allah said in Surah Al-Najm, Surah the Star, Allah said, وَمَا يَنْتَقُمْ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيٌّ. He is not uttering anything from his own, from his own mind. It is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning what? Meaning, you know, he utters things like to the people that fight. But here Allah means the things relating to the practice of your religion. Anything you have worship or advice or morals or dealings or society or community, it is always a revelation. He does not involve his personal opinions in it, the Prophet himself. It is coming from Allah to him through revelation, and he explained it through the real life example of a human being. So, importance of having a set of rules and the role model to practice it in front of us. If you have those in your mind, you know that there should be no chance for someone to come and say, I will establish my own set of rules are there. Or I think this is better to do. No, there was a best role model of all. He did it that way, and it worked, and it still works. So no chance for adding to that religion or the religion to commit. And I mentioned before the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas one time when they were in Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah is the place after people come in Hajj, pilgrimage from the mountain of Arafah. They're coming down to rest at that night. Then they go practice the rest of their Hajj pilgrimage. So he told them, "Ulqut li mithla halqa al-khad, fit for me like small, like bean sized stones, so I can throw the shaitan." Remember, I told you last week, "Wala tabudu fiddin," and do not exceed the limit in your religion. He's talking about stone. But why that stone is connected to the religion? If I pick a bigger stone, that means that I am being accepted in practicing the religion? Even this, yes. Because when the Prophet said something precise, it has to stay precise. He told them the exact size of the stone. Why he said that? Because it is so important to follow the Prophet as he said. If he says something in general, that's another issue. But when he says something specific, it has to stay specific. Because he does not want to leave it to everyone's interpretation, and I explained before the book one. Because everyone is sometimes get over jealous. Shaitan is there, okay, let me grab the biggest stone in the world. Okay, come on, buddy, let's carry it together. Go ahead with Shaitan. And they end up with killing 2-3 people in the way. So, Shaitan killed you. He will not kill Shaitan. But he said, this is a symbol, and the symbol has to stay like that. So you will go there, subhanAllah, you find 2-3 million people striving, and that's beautiful, to follow the tradition of the Prophet. Striving to pick that small. Otherwise, you will just go there and you find stones, millions of stones around you. But see how the love has, believe me, this pilgrimage teach a person a lot of details. Believe me, you become a different human being if you really look into those details. You go there and you find people with flashlights and with things, and they want to get small ones. Why do they want to get small ones? That is the love for the sunnah, for the tradition of the Prophet. Because they know if they don't do that, that means they are drifting away from something the Prophet didn't say. You don't feel comfortable from inside. And that is one of the signs of your love to this religion. The other person, when you find someone, it doesn't matter. And this way, world, it doesn't matter. Is the start of all evil delivery. One time, we're in the masjid. Don't run to the next story. In the masjid after Salatul Isha. So a person came late in the prayer. So he came like after one rak'ah, is over. One set of rak'ah, one rak'ah is over. So he prayed three. So after the imam said, salam alaykum, he should go up and finish the rak'ah that he missed. So he did salam, also with the people. And he's a wealthy young person in the society. No, he's not ignorant or anything about Salah. He's born Muslim and he's like 50 years old or something. I've been praying for all. So the brother said, "Yeah, Sheikh, you're 50. He said, "I know." He said, "Allah accept it, inshallah. Allah accept inshallah, Allah will accept it. Yeah, you are better than Allah. Allah knows what's my intention for inside. Three, like four, it doesn't matter. Allah Sheikh. It's just like that." That's exactly how people sometimes think. Then the heart becomes so hard. Because one time after the other, your heart will become harder than a stone. It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. Like something became automatic, became normal, became a routine. You do it or you don't do it. Some people, they are strict in their meal times. And they're going to bed time. Very strict in that. 7 o'clock, the kids have to be in bed. Doesn't matter, prayer, no prayer, have to be in bed at that time. They have to drink the glass of milk before. You have to wake up this time. You have to exercise 7 miles every day. People sit there, it's very strict like this, but they compromise with the living. Compromise, it doesn't matter. Isha is 8 o'clock when the time saving thing became 9 o'clock, but I have to go to bed 8:30. I cannot go to Isha at 9 o'clock. I'm not imagining things, by the way. Those are things happening in our community here. Happening, it happened. It's too much. Why you start compromising the religion to a point that you start doing some other religion? It's completely another religion. But if you make the religion your core and you adjust your life according to that religion, it's completely different. You taste the sweetness of belief. So exceeding the limit in the allowed things. What about adding to the religion? And the hadith, subhanAllah, of Salman and Abu Darda is very beautiful. الحديث ما نزل في البخاري موقفه ابو زحيفه رضي الله عنه من سيف الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من براذر هود بين سلمان بن ابو الدرداء ليش الحديث بيقول سو وين سلمان وين تو ذا هاوس اوف الدرداء هيز براذر ستي وين هي سو هيز وايف نوت تيكين كير اوف هير سيلف يو نو ماتش سو هي اسكت هير سيد ابو الدرداء از ا بيرسون هو فاست فور ذا داي اند هو سبيند ذا نايت praying and he does not have interest in wife or anything. He abandoned this life. SubhanAllah, he's living in this life. You abandon this life when you die, finish. But Allah created you in this life, so you have to live in this life, take the means of this life, but don't make it in your heart. Collect as much money as you like, as long as there's two conditions. One condition is the money is not your heart, one condition is you're getting from halal and spending it in halal. Simple. And the giving the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have those two conditions, believe me, you will watch everything you are doing. But have you become a millionaire, no problem. Have more than one car, no problem. But as long as you are giving the right of Allah, right of Allah is getting halal, spending halal. And the money is not your heart. It is in your hands, no problem. I have to do have it, no problem. We come, say eat, come on, eat, Abu Darda. I am fasting. He said, Wallahi, you have to eat. You have to, I'm not eating until you eat. So he ate with his brother. So the night he went to spend the night, he said, you sleep here. Then when he woke up later, and then we went to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, yes, he is right. Yani your body have a right upon you to rest. Your visitors have a right on you to come and meet them and eat with them and have some chat with them. Your wife have a right on you. Your spouse have a right on you if the wife kisses the woman. Your husband have a right on you. Everyone have a right on you. So this is the balance. And believe you, me, brothers and sisters, the worship, acts of worship in Islam, is not a goal. Meaning that it is not the final thing that we come and pray and that's done. No. The goal is what the prayer brings, what values that the prayer brings in our life. It's not the goal we fast and we abstain from food and drink and we suffer from hunger. No. What that will bring to our soul and our behavior. Charity, pilgrimage, all this kind of worship. If it does not bring a change and establish a moral and a value in our life, it is exercises. So there is some value coming behind it. So that has to be very, very important in understanding television. But the people who think it is a goal, they want to go quantity and quantity and quantity, and they end up with doing innovation with it. Because they don't know the value behind it. They think by praying, that's the final goal, so I have to pray more and more and more and more and more. Because I have reached the ultimate goal. No. Prayer has to bring, has to make you abstain from anything wrong. Prayer has to be nice to the people, have to learn organization, have to be honest, have to be disciplined with this. If the prayer does not do that, no need for it. So if you know that these are the real goals of the prayer, you will not care about quantity. You will only care about what? Quality of the prayer. When you pray one rak'ah or two rak'ah, you want to make them perfect. So they bring the change in your life. So you don't care about the praying hungry now. You care about whenever you are praying, it doesn't matter the amount, I have to do the right way. So, and we have the best of the example about, I mean not the best, the clearest example of bid'ah or innovation religion, which is the Khawarij, the people who call Khawarij, that means they went out of the religion. Rasulullah predicted them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, يَحْقِرُ أَحَدُكُمْ صَلَاتَهُ بِصَلَاتِهِ. And when you compare your prayer to them, to one of them, of their prayer, no, I'm not. وَصِيَامُهُ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يَزَوْدُ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ. They read Quran, it does not go out of their throat, it does not bring any impact into life. ويخرجون من الدين كخروج كالسهم من الرمية, like the arrow going out from the bow, they go as fast as that. So it is not a matter of outside also. It is not a matter of how the person looks. Oh, mashallah, that person, whenever you see him praying. Allahu A'lam, what's inside? Allah knows best. Even the quality, you don't judge by outside. Your inside has to be clear and well. Be extra careful. Quantity is not as important as quality. Sincerity is very important. You have to know. Sincerity will make the quality better, and then will make each and everything you do, even you miss the quantity part. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many verses, he said about his straight path. And when the action comes after he mentioned about his straight path, you will know that the people who in the religion, those who divided and dissected the religion, it became sects and groups. They are not your followers, they are Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because it is one way, as I told you, it is one way, straight, long, yes, but it is straight, everybody can see it. So when you put a blind person on the beginning of the road and you tell him it is straight, do not drift here or there, it can be.